Hello and welcome to this week's edition of In Accord. I'm going to update you on recent events in the French language areas of the work of God. As I've reported before, the Rwandan government has forbidden our church association from official church activities in that nation. Our church hall has been padlocked for a year and a half. I'm forbidden from holding a church service, from baptizing new members, from performing marriages, from any official church activity. Last year, for the first time in more than 40 years, we were not able to organize the Feast of Tabernacles for the 100 members that we have in Rwanda. This is really overt persecution, though, of course, the government denies this. Officials state there is religious freedom, as long as associations meet certain requirements, but then they make the requirements impossible to fulfill. We know the Bible prophesies religious persecution against true Christians, as we will draw closer to the time of the end. This may be a foretaste of how this could happen. We have broken no laws, have never been accused of any wrongdoing. We've contributed considerable sums of money to the Rwandan economy and nation, but we have been made illegal. We hope to be able to hold the Feast of Tabernacles for our Rwandan brethren across the border in Uganda this year. To that end, in late June, Mr. Tim Waddle, our pastor in South Africa, who also serves our brethren in Uganda, and I flew into Entebbe, the airport for the capital city of Kampala. We stayed several nights on the shores of Lake Victoria. Lake Victoria is Africa's largest lake by area, the world's largest lake in the tropics, and the world's second largest freshwater lake by surface area after Lake Superior in North America. From Entebbe, we drove 7 hours in a four-wheel drive vehicle to near the border of Rwanda to seek a suitable feast site. We spent the night in a rural guest house far from any city noises. And the next day, after checking several hotels, we found a suitable establishment not far from the border and were arranging for our Rwandan brethren to travel there to celebrate the first half of the feast. Our pastor in Rwanda, Mr. Mondeli, is very ill at the moment following a bout of tuberculosis. I'd like to ask you to pray for his prompt and complete recovery. He's been a faithful servant for decades and remains a wonderful servant of God and his people in his country. Since it's doubtful that he'll be able to travel to the feast site, my wife and I plan to keep the first half of the feast in Uganda. We will then travel to Cameroon, where we do not have an elder, to celebrate the last half of the feast with our brethren there. Because we found a feast site more quickly than we thought we would, Mr. Waddle and I had an extra day in country. So we made a short excursion out of Entebbe, where the airport is located, to the town of Jinja to visit the source of the White Nile. You may know that the Great Nile River that flows into the Mediterranean from Egypt has two main tributaries. The Blue Nile, named for its dark sediment, flows out of Lake Tana in Ethiopia. And the White Nile, named for its lighter color, flows out of Lake Victoria in Uganda. The two tributaries meet at Khartoum in the Sudan. The river then flows north to the Mediterranean. Rivers are a prominent theme in the Bible, symbols of fertility and life. So to me, to navigate one of the great rivers of the world is an exhilarating experience. From Uganda, I flew to Rwanda, where I was able to meet with Mr. Mondeli and with some of our brethren. We were able to fellowship, encourage one another, and to share a meal. Not being allowed to observe the Sabbath together is a trial for our brethren in Rwanda, as I'm sure you can imagine. So any opportunity to gather is much appreciated. I flew on from Rwanda south to Burundi, where we have about 700 people attending our church services. I met with our local pastor, Mr. Mukeshimana, who's also suffering from some serious health problems. Please remember him also in your prayers. On the Sabbath, I traveled north from Bujumbura to observe the Sabbath with several hundred members in our hall in Mugina, very close to both the Congolese and the Rwandan borders. It was good to be together once again and to share the Word of God. After the service, we stopped to see a lot of land that we may purchase to be able to build a simple church hall for the congregation in the nearby border town of Rugombo. This was a rather quick trip organized due to the trouble we face in Rwanda, but I believe God blessed us with success and the opportunity to encourage our brethren in these East African countries. Last week, Mr. Taylor mentioned their trip to Europe. Our trip overlapped with them, but also included some other areas. Just a week after returning from my trip to Africa, my wife and I flew to Prague in the Czech Republic. We went there to meet with a church deacon, Mr. Hervé Hirion, who works for the U.S. State Department. Mr. Hirion is French by birth and has been helping us in the French department by proofreading translations of our publications. We appreciate his work very much, and we needed to meet with him to discuss his work now and for the future. He gave us a brief tour of the embassy and grounds, and the next day we enjoyed spending a Sabbath with him. We shared a short Bible study, and he prepared us a very nice Sabbath dinner. We met again on Sunday to continue our discussions about our work together. We invited him to lunch at a restaurant in a fortified stone tower dating from around the year 1475, not something we can usually do in Texas. The following day, we flew on to Bordeaux via Amsterdam. In Bordeaux, I had visits with several members over the course of 2 days. Among those we visited were Chad and Letitia Demarest, who live in the Bordeaux area and who are beginning to help serve the church in France. We enjoyed a dinner with them and with Mr. James and Mrs. Odile Muir, who serve our brethren in French Europe. It's important to be able to discuss our mutual work as we serve together in Europe, especially since my wife and I will not be able to attend the feast in France this year. From Bordeaux, we flew to Zurich in Switzerland, where a few hours later the Taylors arrived from the U.S. via London. We drove a few hours up into the Alps, where we enjoyed the majestic views as they recovered from their jet lag. Friday was August 1st, the national holiday celebrating Swiss independence. From our hotel balconies, we watched a parade led by stout men ringing huge Swiss cowbells. Fireworks lit up the sky. It was a colorful and unusual evening. We had a lovely Sabbath in the lakeside town of Yverdon, where 11 people were present from 4 different countries. Mr. Taylor gave a fine sermon, which was translated into both French and Spanish for those who needed the service, after which we shared a meal and fellowship. We traveled from Switzerland to France, where we would spend the next Sabbath in Paris, and in between the two Sabbaths, we were able to show the Taylors some fascinating historical sites in France, including the D-Day beaches in Normandy, where on June 6, 1944, Allied forces landed to begin the liberation of Western Europe from Nazi Germany. It is sobering to see the cliffs and beaches where so many young men fought and died to free Europeans from the Nazi boot. The American military cemetery at Colville-Saint-Laurent elicits a mixture of emotions: sadness over the tragic loss of so many young lives, thankfulness for what their sacrifice accomplished, some pride in their willingness to sacrifice themselves for others, and hope and joy to know they will all live again in a better world. On the way back to Paris, we also had the chance to visit 3 chateaus in the Loire Valley, where some of the most majestic and evocative architecture in Europe is located. We shared picnics of French cheeses, baguettes, and a glass of wine. Vive la France! On the Sabbath in Paris, 14 members gathered from several regions of France. Mr. Taylor again gave the sermon. We fellowshipped afterwards until people had to leave to catch their trains home. I will mention one last place we visited before the Taylors and we went our separate ways. They had asked us to take them someplace most tourists don't go. So I guided them to the Picpus Cemetery in central Paris. This is a private cemetery that is still being used, but only people who were beheaded by the guillotine of the French Revolution or their family members or descendants may be buried here. The most famous of them is the Marquis de Lafayette, a wealthy Frenchman who served under General George Washington during the American Revolution. Lafayette was invited to speak at the 50th year commemoration of the Battle of Bunker Hill in Boston, and he asked to be given a barrel of earth from Bunker Hill. He gave instructions that he was to be buried under that soil, and he was. The parish chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution placed an American flag over his tomb. The flag is replaced each year. The walls of the cemetery are so high that during the German occupation of Paris during World War II, the American flag still flew there. The Germans never knew it was there. I think that can serve as a reminder to us that there is often more going on in and around our lives than what we perceive. We sometimes make the mistake of thinking that what we see is all there is. It is not. God is working out a great plan that includes us, but we must never imagine that we understand it all. As Job's friend asked him in chapter 11 of the book that bears his name, "Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heaven. What can you do?" We can be thankful that God is almighty and omniscient. He knows all. From all of us at the headquarters office, I wish you a peaceful and encouraging Sabbath day.